Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight for this great day. We learned that, you know, yesterday I was complaining that the Supreme Court is always publishing small, unimportant decisions that are symbolic. And I was like, it sucks to live in this time where everything is small, where we can celebrate the victory of some Christian group to have their flag flown in Boston. First Amendment rights. But today the Supreme Court surprises me and surprises us with the big one, the abortion debate, and they will be abolishing the Roe v. Wade precedent if the reporting is correct, because for now it's a leak and you never know. These right-wing justices can very well trade their votes. They can change their mind at the last minute. So until it's finally published, we won't have a final confirmation. But Politico, for the first time ever in the history of the court, there was a leak. There was a leak of the decision before it's published. Supreme Court has voted to overturn abortion rights, draft opinion shows. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. Justice Alito writes in an initial majority draft circulated inside the court. So if this is correct and if there are no changes for the next month or 2 months, we will have an overturning of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that claimed that women had a right to abortion in the U.S. that was constitutional and therefore that couldn't be legislated against in specific states. John Drake says, it is correct. Justice Roberts says it is a real leak. Yes, it is a real leak. We'll see what Justice Roberts has to say about this later, but even if it's a real leak, you never know. They could change their minds. Some, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, they've not been super solid in terms of taking position for right-wing positions. And they could, at the last minute, say, oh yeah, when it leaked, I was for it, but now I changed my mind. Grace says, I'm not religious, and it's mainly minorities getting abortions, so personally, I'm conflicted on the issue. Well, I don't care all that much about the abortion issue either. I would encourage you to look at it from a perspective of state rights. Look at it from a perspective of going forward. Will we have the Democrat states impose their moral standards onto all of the states of the U.S.? Or will there be two ways of living being let to develop in the U.S.? Those are your only two options. And to me, it's not so much about abortion. It's about, can Republican states be let to be? And if you see it that way, consider what's been happening in the last 2 years with the COVID craze. Clearly, the Democrats have shown that they don't have any qualms into letting the government decide what they do with your body, you know, in terms of applying vaccines, extorting people to get the vaccines, extorting people to use a mask to access certain necessary services. There's no such thing as the body boundary in a Democrat's mind. Yet, they have argued again and again for decades now that the body boundary was something not to be broken in case of women, specifically in Republican states where they would like to legislate on this matter. And so, overturning Roe v. Wade doesn't mean that abortion becomes illegal in the U.S. everywhere. It means that it will be illegal in some places and it will be legal in other places. So first, the right of women is not affected. They will be able to go get an abortion, I'm sure, in a Democrat state. But the right of Republican states to see another way to live, to to have other moral preferences has been restored, or it will be restored if the leak is a testament to what's about to happen. J. John Doe says, is there a positive side to abortion in the cases that it is practiced by people who support abortion? Does this pave the path for regulation and licensure of professional aborters? Well, on your first question, it's been argued before. It's been argued before that there is a eugenic effect to abortion. There's a matter of balance here. Certainly, the people who get abortions are more liberals. Many blacks, not so many Hispanics. It has to do with the mix of religious traditional influences in someone's life and the state of poverty. So yes, you can argue that in a certain way, abortion has a eugenic effect at the demographics level. You can also argue that abortion has a personal eugenic effect in the sense that if a woman does decide to get an abortion, perhaps she is probabilistically less likely to value life, less likely to value babies, and in a way it is a form of self-elimination of your reproductive potential. So yes, these arguments can be done. That being said, I'm confident that wherever in America abortion will be legal, will be mostly in liberal areas, and wherever it becomes illegal will be mostly in Republican right-wing states. So even if you had a eugenic effect that was proven and on which we would agree, it wouldn't be a reason to be annoyed by the abolishment of Roe v. Wade, because the abolishment of Roe v. Wade will allow perhaps an even more selective approach to abortion, where abortion will still exist in certain places of America and it will not exist in other places. And I think it will shake out to be exactly in the way we would want it, which is that religious, traditional, conservative places will not allow it, and therefore will have a boost of their birth rate, and impoverished, socially dependent liberal areas in big towns will allow it, which means there will be less population in these places. Fractal Man says, Ethan Ralph was detained live minutes ago during a live stream of the protest in DC. Okay, you know, Ethan Ralph is a career criminal. Not very important to me what happens to him. And he's on my blacklist on top of it. I will just relay the news since you reported. If you would like to support the show, you can use Super Chats on Odyssey. The dollar button is right below the regular chat. Super Chats on Odyssey is my favorite platform. If you'd like to send me a message or question, alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. J. John Dow says, is there a moral / ethical obstacle for-profit abortion centers supplying fetal material for research at a profit? whether material. This material, to me, if there's a place where abortion is legal in the U.S. and the parents' consent to the fetal tissue being used for research or whatever, I don't think there is a big issue with it happening as long as it happens with the informed consent of the parents. I personally don't care about it. And your other question that I forgot to answer was, does this pave the way for regulation and licensure of professional aborters? Well, what will happen is that in many places of the US, in reaction to the Supreme Court decision, they will just straight out abolish abortion, or they will severely limit it to a given line, like 15 weeks, something like this. But you'll also see some legislatures try to go further, because if Roe v. Wade is abolished as a whole, there's nothing that would keep a state from saying we will just ban all abortions. So probably certain states will be trying this. And as far as licensure of professionals, this was more in the era where some states wanted to legislate against abortion, but they couldn't because of Roe v. Wade. So they were using indirect ways. They were making life extremely hard for aborters. And they were trying to add red tape so that it would complicate their work. With a Roe v. Wade abolished, I don't think you're going to see much red tape being added onto their head. I think now you will have open legislation because the possibility has been reopened. One moment. J. John Dow says, would selling aborted fetal material be an interstate commerce concern? Could that undermine states' rights? The thing is, it doesn't work for this particular case. The interstate thing is, whenever the federal government wants to legislate a domain, they have to justify it by saying, oh, well, it's interstate commerce, so it's my responsibility. The problem with abortion is that the federal government is leftist. It is Democrats. They don't want to legislate abortion. They want the Republican states to be unable to legislate abortion. So if a Republican state now says, we don't allow abortion, the federal government cannot come and say, oh, well, it's an interstate commerce question because of the fetal tissue. No, because they just outlawed abortion. So there's no fetal tissue to be commerced on, you know? So I don't think that your framing works here. I don't think they could use it. It works whenever the federal government wants to intervene into something that's ongoing. But if the state decides that it's not ongoing, then it's not ongoing, and then there's nothing to make commerce about. So the opinion of the court, which according to the leaks would be subject to a majority, is written by Justice Alito. So they first talk about the intense debate that has been happening around abortion and how it's a very important question for all of America. At the time of Roe, 30 states still prohibited abortion at all stages. In the years prior to that decision, about a third of the states had liberalized their laws, but Roe abruptly ended that political process. It imposed the same highly restrictive regime on the entire nation, and it effectively struck down the abortion laws of every single state. As Justice Byron White aptly put it in his dissent, the decision represented the exercise of raw judicial power, and it sparked a national controversy that has embittered our political culture for half a century. So the problem is, when you talk about abortion, the opinion mentions that it's a life, and there could be states in which a human life is considered to have certain rights under certain circumstances. And there's nothing in the Constitution that says you cannot legislate to protect a human life under certain circumstances. And so since there can be this legitimate and constitutional moral disagreement, it was unfair for the Supreme Court to impose a law across the U.S. If you want a law across the U.S., they say it's not super difficult. You just have to vote your representatives in. And as they say, they say something interesting in this decision at the end. They say, women have political power. They say, first, they represent 51% of the population. In the last election, they even represented more voters than their representation of the overall population. They were voting at 55 and registering at 55%. So woman, if women want abortion, and some women want abortion rights, some don't want it, but they can have this political fight in the political arena. They can vote for their representatives, and it would be as easy as in your state to have Democrats elected, and they write a law that says you can have abortions. The Supreme Court is not deciding that this process cannot happen. It's deciding precisely that going forward, it can happen. The problem is before this, it couldn't happen because of Roe v. Wade. John Dow says, what PDF program are you using, JF? I'll send you the link. It's Document Cloud, but it's where Politico has published their leaked draft. So it's not my program. It's just they published it in this form. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one on which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely, the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment. That provision has been held to guarantee some rights that are not mentioned in the Constitution, but any such rights must be deeply rooted in this nation's history and tradition and implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. So the whole idea that the 14th Amendment protects abortion is kind of a judicial extrapolation, because there is no mention of abortion in the 14th Amendment, but there is a mention of due process, and with liberal justices on the court, they were able to extend the argument and say, well, a woman who would like to have an abortion must not be submitted to any requirements by the government or any blockade by the government, because it violates her due process rights. There were also other amicus curiae briefs that were trying to make the case that it's a matter of equality, and that if women don't have access to abortion, it will disadvantage them on the workplace and in various systems. And the court rejected these arguments and said, first, explicitly, abortion isn't in the 14th Amendment. Secondly, if you want to make a case that it's implicit, you have to demonstrate that it's part of the history of common law in this country in general. And they say at the moment of Roe, it was a crime to have an abortion in most states, if not all, of the US. There is not a history of American abortionism being part of the culture or being part of common law. In fact, they make a review of historical developments in common law in England and then in the US, and they say in most cases it was considered a crime. There was just the question back then, as they call it, the question of the quickening of the baby, and the quickening was defined as the moment where the baby starts kicking, and they were saying that it was a graver felony to kill a baby in the womb after the baby had started kicking. But as they point out in the Supreme Court decision, this doesn't matter all that much. It's just a bunch of people from the 16th century trying to figure out when is life present in the body of the embryo. And as far as today we are concerned, it really doesn't matter, because it's ultimately in the hand of states to legislate on this by using political lobbying, political campaigning, and women can vote, as the opinion reminds. Women, you know, are not politically powerless. J. John Dow says, does abortion become euthanasia after a person is born? How can abortion be debated without considering euthanasia? Typically, yes, there will be people. I typically do not engage on this whole question of the border of life, the edge of existence, and when are you truly a being? And the court decision kind of mocks these questions and says, whatever definition you choose, you know, it's going to have some features, it's going to be exploitable in some ways. They mock some of the arguments around, oh, you become a person when you have cognitive experience, when you have a capacity to make decision, and you have sentience. And they were pointing out to the fact that they were pointing out a quite harsh reality, which is by the standard that these people want us to consider personhood, there might be some adults that there might be some already born people who don't qualify. Perhaps some are deprived of sentience because they had a brain accident. Perhaps some have genetic disorders that remove their ability to make decisions. They were pointing out, if you guys want us to define personhood, you're in a whole world of trouble. And so we won't. That's their point. We don't have to do this. We're just a bunch of justices. And ultimately, the waiving of all these rights and all these concerns and all these moral preferences, it should be in the hand of politicians, which is not a popular thing to say because no one trusts politicians. But it should be let to the political process, no matter how little respect you have for it. Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. Its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division. It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. The permissibility of abortion and the limitations upon it are to be resolved, like most important questions in our democracy, by citizens trying to persuade one another and then voting. That was Justice Scalia in Casey. Casey was a reaffirmation of the of the general principles of Roe v. Wade. However, they were abandoning a lot of the original judicial justification and they were switching to a new one. And they had invented all sorts of tests, like the undue burden test. Basically, a law would be found to be unconstitutional if it imposes an undue burden to the woman who's making the decision to get an abortion. And this test has been interpreted in various ways by various courts. And the Supreme Court was pointing out in this opinion, this is a demonstration just how clear an undue burden evaluation is. There's basically, you can argue that so much is an undue burden in what courts do. And you can also argue that it's a due burden. It's really an arbitrary standard that was used to justify this advance of the left. And so that's another reason why we should celebrate. It's the leftists are getting put back in their place. They're going crazy on Twitter right now. Barack Obama has written a letter, which we'll have a look at. they are being told, look, you've been handling your own state as if you can impose someone wearing a medical device on their freaking face at your request. So yes, we're going to be able in our states to legislate about very grave medical procedures that have enormous consequences on a potential life, call it a life or a potential life, I don't care. The health of the woman, the health of the baby, and the father's rights also, which is not mentioned at all in the Supreme Court opinion. That's unfortunate because it's time we start talking about father's rights in the context of abortion. But thanks to the disappearance of Roe v. Wade, There will be possibilities of making laws specifically restoring the medical decision making of the father in this entire process. Another aspect of the father's rights being violated is just the common event of women using their pregnancy as an extortion device against men. It is so common to see women state threats. I will get an abortion. Oh, you're not being kind to me today. I'll get an abortion. I mean, it's unbelievable. This is ongoing and it's extortion. It should be criminal, but because of Roe v. Wade, it could not be criminal. Thanks to the disappearance of Roe v. Wade, you can have certain states might decide to make that kind of threat a crime. That would be wonderful. Can you imagine you are stuck with a abusive female partner and all you have to do to get her in jail is get a recording of her saying, I'm gonna get an abortion if you do this or that. That would be beautiful. And we could have this in Florida. We could have this maybe in Texas. Ariel Suarez says, and mandate injection of a substance in their bloodstream, JF, don't forget. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Democrats have held a cognitive dissonance about the totality of their position. And it's been untenable, and Roe v. Wade will come to correct this. So now everything in America is about state rights. And because of this, you'll have a big boom. I predict that Roe v. Wade, at term, like in 5 to 10 years from now, being abolished, will result in a real estate boom in Republican states. Because now you can have the free competition between different ways of living that should happen in America. Now the Supreme Court has confirmed we will not keep Republican states from being Republican anymore. That is beautiful, and that should be celebrated. JFG Moment says, JF, would you join Cozy TV if it was offered to you? I would take the offer from Cozy TV, I would roll it, and I would put it up my ass, and I would then shit it along with my shit. That's what I would do with a Cozy TV offer. I'm not interested in this teenager platform. They can have fun there. I'm not going to stop them from existing. But I have zero interest JF Moment says bold. Well, to be clear, I'm not gonna physically do it, so don't try to send me an offer just for the fun of seeing me do it. No, I am not interested in Cozy because I am only working on open platforms. When I was born as a YouTuber, I was born on open platforms. And I don't care if it means having somewhat smaller audiences. I don't care. But I will always be rooting and working for the success of open platforms. Because the next big thinker, the next big YouTuber, or the next big Odysseyer, I don't want them to have to send an email to a bunch of merchants, you know, operating a private platform and have to beg for their existence in this world. To me, it's very important. The platforms are opened, which leads to young talent being able to rise. It's not even about me. It's about the future talents. Are they stuck with an obstacle as they enter the world of streaming, or can they go freely as they wish? I want them to be able to go freely as they wish. I also want to have open competition. I want my show to be competing with the new youth rising and being able to do exactly the same thing as me with exactly as much obstacles as I have. I don't want private back of the scene arrangements, and cozy TV is all this. If I'm unknown, can I be on cozy TV? No, I can't. You have to be somewhat known so that they will start a channel for you. And I'm not interested in this. Although I might qualify, my competitors might not qualify. And I believe in the open internet, low barrier of entry. Anyone can be a celeb if they have the brains to do it, if they have the original ideas and the creativity. I want them to be, the very day they decide to do it, I want them to be a competitor of me already. That's how I see, because Cozy TV will have the problems that closed platforms have, which is that they will accumulate corruption. Not corruption in the sense of political corruption, but creativity corruption. There will be an accumulating process of ways of thinking, ways of operating, ways of producing, that because it won't be challenged by the upcoming rising stars, it will get old and get cringier with time. And eventually, everyone on this platform will be kind of, they will feel passé, as you guys say in English. They will feel very passé, very 2016. And Cozy TV will have a problem at attracting new talent when that happens, because their platforms, their name, everything that made their success, which was saving people from censorship, basically, will eventually turn against them, and it will paralyze, just like banned video. If you go on banned video, you see people streaming like they would in a long time ago, and it gets less relevant, and it kind of, there's kind of this cognitive distance where they're flying away from you, and you can't quite save them. Fractal Man says, are we simply moving to the next distraction? COVID, Ukraine, abortion, etc. The entire country is being gutted by BlackRock and other multinationals. Meanwhile, illegals are flooding in daily, and we are sending billions to foreign nations that hate us. All these problems are true, but you should be able to, and thank you for the donation, thank you for supporting the show, but you should be able to celebrate a victory when you have one, even if it's a small victory. But we should talk about today how we couldn't have asked for better. I mean, I was covering the selection process of Brett Kavanaugh. It was a great moment, and when we saw his face with hate, saying, Brett Kavanaugh, what goes around comes around. He said that to the Democrats. And back then, my comment was as follows, and I was absolutely right, or at least the leak seems to indicate that I was right. We will have a justice who is dedicated at shitting on the Democrats and at hurting them in the most vicious ways. And what I said back then was, I want Brett Kavanaugh to be using that hate that he developed at being falsely accused in this whole fake political process that was the false allegations against Brett Kavanaugh during the hearings. I want him to stack all this hate inside and unleash it when he becomes a justice. And I think that with this opinion against Roe v. Wade, it's been unleashed. I think that this is Brett Kavanaugh saying, you get what you fucking deserve. Pineapple Platypotamus says, it all comes back to you. You finally get what you deserve. try and test that, you're bound to get served. Now, PolitiFact was saying it's not clear that this was a threat to Democrats. We have to understand the context in which he said this. I personally think that there's nothing clearer in terms of the history of justice of the Supreme Court. There's never been a threat as clear as this. I think this one was clearly a threat. It was saying, all of the hate that you dump on me today, I will dump it back to you. And today it happened. J. John Dow says, hurting Democrats in the most vicious ways. Are you predicting election integrity reform as the next big Supreme Court controversy? Well, I I would hope so. I would dream so, but I don't think it's going to happen. The Supreme Court that we currently have has already taken decisions. When the Texas case was raised against election integrity in Democrat states, the Supreme Court has refused to take the case. So that was a golden opportunity for them to do so. So let's not set our hope to something impossible, but at least today we have a confirmation that Republican states can exist as such. They can continue being Republican. They can have their own moral preferences. And we don't have to be in this constant mechanism in the US of Democrats imposing their ways of life to Republicans and Republicans not doing that. See, that's the big failure of Republicanism in the US. It's a joke that Sargon of Akkad had done when he came on my show. He was a guest and he had said, yes, I'm developing a view of libertarian fascism. And it was kind of a joke, but when your principle is liberty, you should have no qualms at imposing it on other people. And Republicans, if they have decided that the protection of the fetus as a human life or potential human life is something worth pursuing, they should pursue it with as much viciousness as the Democrats pursue the abolishment of state rights, the uniformization of America to the globalist leftist standards that they want to impose to it. The mere fact that Republican states will be let to exist as they want will create a natural competition in America, which is why I'm saying that this will ultimately result in the great real estate boom of the Republican states. There will be free competition about just how much of an asshole do you want to be to your civilian population. And Democrat states will inevitably lose this competition. Ariel Suarez says, wasn't this black YouTuber advocating for libertarian fascism? I don't know if someone else had said the term before, but Sargon of Akkad, I remember, made that joke as defining his political beliefs when he came on my show. And I initially thought he was serious, and then I realized, oh, okay, he's playing with the kind of apparent contradiction between the words. So what do they go on? Well, the opinion takes a very long time to show the history of the history of abortion being a crime in common law. So there's no historical grounding for a massive right that would exist even if not explicitly mentioned in the Constitution. They then go to the question of stare decisis, and stare decisis is the principle that a court must keep its current opinion. If nothing changes, the opinion of the court shouldn't change. But they say there are exceptions to it, and we have reversed precedents before. And they go through the arguments of what makes a good argument to overrule another finding. And of course, it's about the degree of error of the initial decision. And there was a big degree of error in Roe v. Wade, as proven by the Casey case, which took the conclusion of Roe v. Wade and found just new legal justifications for it, rather than endorse the initial decision. The inescapable conclusion is that a right to abortion is not deeply rooted in the nation's history and traditions. On the contrary, an unbroken tradition of prohibiting abortion on pain of criminal punishment persisted from the earliest days of the common law until 1973. So that's a solid undoing of the historical perspective in Roe v. Wade, which apparently I haven't reread Roe v. Wade, but they were laughing at the fact that Roe v. Wade was quoting infanticide being legal in ancient Greece or ancient Egypt, that kind of stuff. Okay, well, infanticide and abortion are two different issues. Do you want to legalize infanticide in America just because it was okay in ancient Egypt? We're not there. J. John Dow says, countries can become failed states vulnerable to takeover by foreign interest. Which state in the U.S. would fail first? Which states would take over? Would they annex or maintain existing border? Oh, well, you're asking... You're asking a complex question. Which state would fail first? It depends on the kind of failure. If you're talking about an invasion of the US, probably the logistics of the invasions would determine exactly which state gets invaded, and the superiority of the opponent would determine whether they fail or not. If you're talking about kind of late imperialistic failure due to over-politicization and kind of overburdening of the state, then I would have no surprise if the Democrat states would fall first, because they would be the one experiencing the biggest weight of their own red tape ways. So if a late empire type of crumbling for America does happen, there are places in America that will just go on living as they do right now. I mean, imagine a farmer community with land, cultivating their own food. These people will not be affected by late imperialistic stuff, unless the late imperialistic stuff ends up in the repossession of their lands or stuff like this. But on their own, they're bound to succeed. What else did we have? Ordered liberty sets limits and defines the boundary between competing interests. Roe and Casey each struck a particular balance between the interest of a woman who wants an abortion and the interest of what they termed potential life. But the people of the various states may evaluate those interests differently. In some states, voters may believe that the abortion right should be even more extensive than the right that Roe and Casey recognize. Voters in other states may wish to impose tight restrictions based on their belief that abortion destroys an unborn human being. Our nation's historical understanding of ordered liberty does not prevent the people's elected representatives from deciding how abortion should be regulated. They don't mention the COVID rules, but I think in the background of this decision is just how much we have let governmental power grow in this country under COVID. And it's unreasonable to believe that, a state could decide every micro decision about whether you get a vaccine and the number of booster shots you need to go to a restaurant. They could decide this, but they couldn't decide something like, hey, you know, the procedure of killing an embryo, a human embryo, We have our say on this, and some states would like it to be totally legal. Some states would like it to be limited to certain situations. You cannot hold these two positions together. If you want to micromanage people, and you claim you have the constitutional right to micromanage people, going to restaurants and just breathing without a mask. If you can manage this, you can legislate anything. Certainly abortion. J. John Dow says, the Amish all but ignored COVID. I wonder if the Chinese would leave them alone or treat them similar to the Uyghurs. Ah, you know, I love the Amish. I love that they are so protected against the bad aspects of our civilization. In doing so, they had to reject a couple of things that I find useful in my life. I'm not anti-technology. I love the internet. I love fiber optics. I love automated watering. The Amish have abandoned the whole thing, but they are so right in a way to deprive themselves of these little gains, but to also be protected from these extremely bad influences. We have long recognized, however, that stare decisis is not an inexorable command. So there's a long part of this opinion that's about why do we do this reversal and why it's justified. And it's all arbitrary criteria about just how wrong the original decision was. Ultimately, justices do whatever they want. So it boils down to this. They wanted abortion to be limited 50 years ago, and now they don't want it anymore because they've been replaced by Republican justices. So that's it for my review of the opinion itself. We can go to the conclusion if you'd like. I'm looking for it right now. It's a very short conclusion. They just say, we are putting the power back into the hands of the people. Oh, interestingly, here they say, we do not pretend to know how our political system or society will respond to today's decision overruling Roe and Casey. And even if we could foresee what will happen, we would have no authority to let that knowledge influence our decision. We can only do our job, which is to interpret the law, apply long-standing principles of stare decisis, and decide this case accordingly. We therefore hold that the Constitution does not confer a right to abortion. Roe and Casey must be overruled, and the authority to regulate abortion must be returned to the people and their elected representative. Another perspective that I wanted to bring on this, and a reason you should celebrate, is when we look at it, I would invite you to a reverted lens, okay? Because, of course, the memes that have been injected in your brain since you're young is that Roe v. Wade was important, it's great for female rights, it liberates women. I would suggest something. I would suggest that Roe v. Wade should be viewed as a special pleading for women. It should be viewed as the first progressive dent into the equality of law, and it should be seen ultimately as the first affirmative action that this country started walking into. The idea of creating a special right for women. So rather than say abortion laws are anti-female and misogynistic and driven by religious desire to control females' body, I would point out exactly the opposite, that it was Roe v. Wade that was the special pleading that we have to give special rights and special permissions to women. Because men have no recourse when they get attacked by law. Men have no recourse when their state decide to impede on their personal decision. Men have no recourse when their state says you can't continue occupying your professional position if you don't get a vaccine. or will make it very hard if you don't get the vaccine, or will force you to get a mask. Men have zero recourse against this, and Roe v. Wade was a special form of legal pleading that says we're going to mold the law for the needs of the individual woman. Now, the social contract has been restored, and just how shitty the state is will be experienced by male and females equally. And hopefully, I hope that this decision will result in more females becoming libertarian and understanding that the more you support state oppression of the other sex, the more we will be happy when you get state oppressed too. Doubting Thomas says, JF, the real victims are going to be the poor feminist males who will be having less sex. Yeah, and so be it. That's a good societal development. You know, I'm totally for it because recreational sex has been an issue in this country. Let's just restore the idea that consent to sex is consent to pregnancy, at least in certain states. And let's not engage frivolously in this activity, which is the activity that results in reproduction. This is the purpose of sex. All of the good feelings that you may experience as part of sex are just a secondary consequence of this biological reality. The conclusion of the opinion, we end this opinion where we began. Abortion presents a profound moral question. The Constitution does not prohibit the citizens of each state from regulating or prohibiting abortion. Roe and Casey arrogated that authority. We now overrule those decisions and return that authority to the people and their elected representatives. The judgment of the Fifth Circuit is reversed and the case is remanded for further proceedings consistent with this opinion. Bravo, we have a restoration of live and let live in America. And at the state level, we have a restoration of you can be whatever you want as a state. You can decide collectively how you will live, what will be acceptable. I think that this will be a profound setback for leftists who are trying to use the judicial branch to advance a progressive agenda. I love it. Meanwhile, we have the great triggering, of course. American women's lives and dreams are in Brett Kavanaugh's hands now. This chain rapist is now deciding what will happen with woman body in the U.S. He can do the right thing by the American people or follow through on his threat to take out his rage on people who couldn't pick him out of a lineup of schlubby suburban dads. Is this journalism at this point? It's rage. It's white rage. He is motivated by white rage. It was less than 4 years ago that a tearful, rageful Brett Kavanaugh, hours from being confirmed to a lifetime appointment to the most powerful judicial body in the U.S., vowed to one day have his revenge for the ways he was wronged. "You sowed the wind," he told Democratic members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. "The country will reap the whirlwind." That's another sentence that goes pretty much with what goes around comes around. I doubt that he envisioned that his opportunity to stick it to the people who he believed wronged him would come so quickly. On Monday night, Politico released the detail of a leaked Supreme Court draft opinion. Okay, there's plenty of blame to go around for where we find ourselves today. The biggest share of the blame, or from their perspective credit, goes to the right-wing zealots who have been working toward this since the Reagan administration. If the fight against Roe were a person, they would be old enough to be approaching the tail end of their reproductive years, if not past them already. But we can't talk credit and blame without recognizing the non-efforts of self-styled, self-preserving mainstream Democrats and moderates who didn't take the threat against Roe seriously enough or didn't care enough to mount any kind of organized, strategic, long-term plan to save it beyond crafting fundraising email subject lines that made donors feel as though chipping in $10 would make some kind of difference in the fight. Pray tell, what fucking fight? They now use the word fucking in mainstream media writing. Okay. So it's a great triggering. And just for this, you should celebrate. Just for this, it's great. J. John Dow says the author of that article is projecting their vindictive personality so hard. Yeah, we're not even asking you to abandon abortion. Just get the abortions you want in the states. That all we're saying is, if you want an abortion, make your own state where abortion is legal. Just make your own state. The same way I'm making my own Odyssey channel. You know, I've been kicked from Twitter. I've abandoned YouTube. I made my own world here. Well, to the woman who wants abortion, make your own state where abortion is legal. Statement by President and Miss Obama on the draft Supreme Court decision. Today, millions of Americans woke up fearing that their essential freedoms under the Constitution were at risk. If the Supreme Court ultimately decides to overturn the landmark case of Roe v. Wade, then it will not only reverse nearly 50 years of precedent, it will relegate the most intensely personal decision someone can make to the whims of politicians and ideologues. Few, if any, woman. By the way, one important aspect of the opinion that they were covering is they said, if we listen to a lot of the arguments of the pro-abortion people, all of these arguments seems like they would equally apply to suicide and to drug taking. If you do a personal decision, because Obama says the most intensely personal decision someone can make. Well, wait a minute. Suicide would be more intensely personal. Suicide implies the destruction of your own life, and therefore it's deeply personal. So by which standard does the Constitution keep you from legislating abortion, but somehow you're able to legislate suicide? That was a very good point. And somehow you're able to legislate people consuming drugs. Those are extremely good points. And I don't think that abortion is the most personal decision someone can make. I think that suicide is more personal. And that, in fact, abortion is more interpersonal because it involves the mother, the father, and the child. Few, if any, women make the decision to terminate a pregnancy casually. And people of goodwill across the political spectrum can hold different views on the subject. But what Roe recognized is that the freedom enshrined in the 14th Amendment of the Constitution requires all of us to enjoy a sphere of our lives that isn't subject to meddling from the state, a sphere that includes personal decisions involving who we sleep with, who we marry, whether or not to use contraception, and whether or not to bear children. Well, there will be no reversal of any of the precedents around contraception, marriage, who you sleep with, because the court has been very clear. They have specified in their opinion, we only are talking about abortion because abortion may involve the killing of someone from the perspective of certain legislative bodies. This doesn't change all of the findings about the 14th Amendment and the previous decision that do not concern abortion. It's really just about abortion. J. John Dow says, how can the leftist backlash for pro-liberty here be co-opted to improve legislation / freedom for sane people? Oh, it's quite simple. First, we have to educate the leftist about just how much they have been violating the personal boundary with their vaccine craziness and their mask craziness. So we have to show them that they were in contradiction. Second, we have to tell them basically abortions will keep being blocked until freedom improves. We will keep legislating you as long as you keep legislating us. You have used the power of the state as your arm to advance in a war of progressivism, in the culture war of progressivism. We will respond. And anything that can induce some kind of triggering in you, we will do. We will go tit for tat, as Naberius says. We will be using the legislation of the Republican states to make your life harder the way you made our life harder. And whenever you want a peace deal, contact us. I'm open for it. As the court has previously determined, our freedoms are not unlimited. Society has a compelling interest in other circumstances, for example, in protecting children from abuse or people from self-harm. And the framework constructed by Roe and the subsequent court decisions allowed legislatures to impose greater restrictions on abortion later in pregnancy. But this draft decision doesn't seek to balance these interests. Instead, it simply forces folks to give up any constitutionally recognized interest in what happens to their body once they get pregnant. Under the court's logic, state legislatures could dictate that women carry every pregnancy to term, no matter how early it is and no matter what circumstances led to it, even rape or incest. Well, you get what you fucking deserve, Obama. You've been violating the boundary of the body. You've been doing it under COVID, and we will just show you that we can do it too, according to our own preferences. And yes, it may mean that in some states they may take the extreme position that a baby from a rape shouldn't pay the price because he's not the one who committed the rape. I, as a biologist, would recommend against this because I don't like the idea of the rape gene getting successful in society, but it may be what certain legislatures decide, and we'll have to respect that this is the way they want to live. The consequences of this decision would be a blow not just to women, but to all of us who believe that in a free society there are limits. Oh, it's interesting how we're back to women. We're back to women. I thought that the Obama were a little more woke than this. Aren't we talking about pregnant people here? Because not all people who are pregnant identify as women. But to all of us who believe that in a free society there are limits to how much the government can encroach on our personal lives, and this decision is unlikely to significantly reduce abortions, which have been steadily going down over the past several decades, thanks in large part to better access to contraception, education, doesn't matter. The philosophical question is not influenced by what, is there 10,000 abortions in your states or is there 20,000? Doesn't change the question here. Instead, as we've already begun to see in states with restrictive abortion laws, those women with means would travel to states where abortion remains legal and safe. Meanwhile, those without enough money or access to transportation or ability to take off from school or work would face the same circumstances most women faced before Roe, desperately seeking out illegal abortions that inevitably pose grave risks to their health, their future ability to bear children, and sometimes their lives. Well, I have confidence that the Texas bounty hunters will pursue all women equally, independent of their degree of wealth. I'm confident that they will be absolutely in line with the equality clause of the 14th Amendment. J. John Dow says, how can this controversy be redirected to improve the situation for men in family courts or fathers' rights? It's a long way from here, but it's a good step. But eventually, yes, we have to get to the point where Republican states would have to start openly legislating against family court discrimination of males. And there's no way to do this, basically, because already the laws in the book are already claiming that family courts don't discriminate against men. The only way you can do this is to remove judicial power in family court. Because the problem is, you have the law that says we treat women and men equally. But then you have powers given to the judge. Like, oh, the judge can weigh some different facts, including abuse, and including the interest of the child and the age of the child, and whether the age is appropriately better with a female or a male. So you have too much judicial power given to judges. The way you would have to do this is you go in Republican states and you demand 50-50 custody default. And you impose the red tape that you put to get away from this default, you make it so complicated that it's basically unreachable. What you would have to do is basically you get 50-50 custody unless you're in jail for a crime that you've committed, period. If you just do this, the family court business is totally off the hook. There's a bunch of lawyers who will be going on unemployment. That's perfect. And you just resolve the whole issue of family court determinations. As long as you don't do this, you'll have female preference in the judges. J. John Dow says the Texas abortion bounties, paid information should be available for FOIA inquiry. It would be interesting to know how much activity followed that legislation. Yeah, my guess is there the Texas Bounty Hunter, I love the idea. I love the idea of just cowboys running around town, spotting the abortion clinics. And, hello, sir. I'm doing a little investigation here on behalf of the state of Texas. I love the idea, but I don't think it's going to happen all that much. I think that there will be a strong chilling effect of the laws in these states. And there's just going to be no doctor willing to do abortions because they will know that they're on the hook for such legal liabilities that they would basically lose all of their money, all of their houses, anything they own. A clear majority of Americans support Roe. Well, if so, they just have to vote. If a clear majority, if it's an issue for so many people, why is it a problem to get these laws on the book through the political process? One moment. Yet we recognize that while many are angry and frustrated by this report, some of those who support Roe may feel helpless and instinctively turn back to their work or families or daily tasks, telling themselves that because this outcome may have been predictable, there's nothing any of us can do. If that's you, we ask you to think about the college student waking up after her date forced her into unprotected sex. Think about the couple that tried to have children for years, who are without any options when faced with the tragic reality of an unviable pregnancy. Think of any of the hundreds of thousands of women each year who deserve the dignity and freedom of making a decision that is right for their bodies and circumstances. You might be one of those people. I am one of those people, Barack. I have been imposed unprotected masks onto my mouth. I have been threatened that I should get needles into my arm. I am one of the rape victims you're talking about. Although I haven't been raped under the Roe v. Wade designation, I've been raped by the Democrat practices of the last 2 years. And I'm here to tell you, we will make you pay back. We will impose certain ways of living that are fit to our views, just like you imposed certain ways of living that were fit to your doctors and your experts' view. And hopefully we can reach a point at some point in the future in this country where people let other people live in whatever ways they want to. But as long as you will be using the strength of the state to impose stuff on us, we will be using the strength of the state to impose stuff on you. That is it for today, boys. I'll see you all tomorrow. Absolutely great news today, so let us celebrate this. I had also this CNN article. Perhaps I can talk about it before the end. John Roberts calls the release of draft Roe v. Wade reversal a singular and egregious breach of trust and orders an investigation. This is where I don't know if the investigation will be successful. It's the first time an opinion of the Supreme Court gets leaked, and this shows, you know what, I'm going to say it, I have a big suspicion that this comes from Sotomayor. She's exactly the kind of justice who will... She's exactly the kind of justice who, you know, has this little progressive mindset to everything she does. And she will have seen this and say, oh, I have to warn the women of America that they will be targeted by the evil Brett Kavanaugh. And she's the kind of woman who would totally leak this to the press for creating a kind of historical moment at the Supreme Court. Roberts says, to the extent this betrayal of the confidences of the court was intended to undermine the integrity of our operations, it will not succeed. Roberts said, the work of the court will not be affected in any way. We at the court are blessed to have a workforce, permanent employees and law clerks alike, intensely loyal to the institution and dedicated to the rule of law. Court employees have an exemplary and important tradition of respecting the confidentiality of the judicial process and upholding the trust of the court. White Supreme is mocking us for coughing. The French cock coughs too much. Well, I will be banning you. I'm doing my best to speak and to... I cut the mic very often to cough. I don't think it deserve you calling me a cock. I do my best. Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. And please, yeah, I won't say the rest, but I do have something in mind about what should happen to you, but I'll keep it private for now. One moment. So, I think it's Sotomayor, but what the justices should have done, they should have seeded each of the PDFs that they were giving to each of the justices with a specific word switch on each page. So, Suppose that you change just a little word on page one and just a little word on page two, and you make it look like it's the final version. You then distribute this so that you can know immediately who leaked it once it gets out in the media. You should always encode, if you're giving a PDF to someone in confidence, you should always encode it with your salt and pepper, as is referred to in the crypto and cryptological world. You seed some specificity to it so that if it ever gets leaked, you know exactly who did it. And for each justice, you change a different word. J. John Dow says, as a voter, do I have the right to demand a non-Dominion vote option? Not just to cast, but in how my vote is counted. Well, you certainly don't have that right in current America. We could dream of a future America in which you acquire that right. But we are not there yet. So, another one wants to be banned. Matt here calling me a cuck. All right. Ariel Suarez says, oh no, I accidentally banned Matt. Well, I then intentionally banned him. So that's a double ban. He's not lucky. He's got both the accidental ban and the official ban. That's it for tonight. Anyways, my voice is getting tired. I need to go to rest. I've been just working physically so much during the day, doing some furniture adjustment, room adjustments, lots of hammering, lots of drilling. I'm drilling the foundation. So perhaps that's what leads to my voice getting tired today. Anyway, see you all tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.